This is Messenger Insight, a podcast program brought to you by Oklahoma Baptist and the Baptist Messenger.
Welcome to the Insight Podcast. I'm Chris Forbes, your host. We have today a conversation with Tommy Woodard and Eddie James, better known of as the Skit Guys. On top of their usual touring with comedy, they have now got a new book out and a movie that's going to be in theaters on May 13th called Family Camp. We're looking forward to talking more about that. Welcome to the podcast, guys.
Hey, thank you, Chris. Glad to be here.
Thank you, Chris.
All right. I'm so good. I'm afraid I don't even know where we're going to go with all this. I want to say, look, first of all, I want to talk about the book, then I want to go into the movie, which, you know, it's coming out. But I got to say, I looked at your book, and I think it's called Smells Like Bacon. And I think you guys make a cogent argument for using bacon in friendships. I think you missed an opportunity, though, with it doesn't really smell like bacon, and, you know, you could have done a little scratch and sniff there.
We need to let you know that was actually one of our suggestions, but the publisher said it would cost too much, so we did not win that battle.
So you have
Chris,
to bring
we only,
go ahead.
We only have so many credits in the bank. You realize that, so
you have to use your own bacon for this. Just use it as a bookmark.
That's right.
Ooh, that's a great idea.
By the way, bacon is also a great way to meet dogs. So that's excellent opportunity there. But seriously, you guys are the ones paid to do the comedy, so I will leave it to you. Let's seriously tell us a little bit about the book and why you wrote it.
Smells Like Bacon. I think it's one of those things, Chris. I mean, you've noticed for a really long time since high school, right?
Yeah, probably college.
College. So when you have a 30-year friendship, I think you start collecting values, a value system of friendship to go, wait, okay, it's this or it's this or it's this. And you try to navigate that friendship. And then when you add on a ministry and then a job and then, you know, I mean, you could call that job a business and you're taking care of people, you start figuring out ways to call them, you know, values and how we're going to relate to one another. And then it really is that joke. Well, if we ever get to write a book. And then when the movie came out, it was like, hey, why don't you guys write a book? And so it was that thing of going, okay, let's do this. Let's put pen to paper of all the things that we've been living out for the past 30 years. What we would go, this is a good, healthy relationship as far as a friendship. And how do we honor God with that? And how do we navigate just two different types of personalities in a friendship?
Yeah, to have a friendship for 30 years, you have to know something. There has to be some bacon bits. And so it just seemed natural to share it.
So how did you come up with the title?
There's a story. Yeah, there's a story in the book that Eddie, when he moved from California to Texas, where I was living at the time with my wife in a parsonage, the parsonage smelled like old pastor. And then Eddie moved in and he was on the Atkins diet and would eat bacon at almost every meal.
He ate bacon for every meal.
Yeah. And he smelled up my house. The house then smelled like old pastor and bacon. And so, so it's like in our mind, friendship smells like bacon.
Well, your wife even said, why? Why does my house smell like bacon?
Yeah, that's right.
That's my buddy. That's my buddy, Ed.
It's just friendship.
It smells like friendship, honey. That's what it smells like. Yeah. It smells like friendship.
Yeah.
Well, you talk in the book, you talk about the four circles of friendship. Can you talk just briefly about that?
I think the four circles of friendship, whenever you're getting to know somebody, I mean, it's kind of like a funnel. If you were to be looking at a funnel from the top up, you know, it's very, very wide at the very front. So to have your outer circle is just taking a chance. I think we live in a world today where it's amazing. Even like I have two high school, you know, daughters, and I find one of them, they are very, very shy, very reserved, and they don't and she doesn't really like to take chances, you know? So that outer circle would be just take a chance on a friendship. Just say yes to an adventure. Say yes to, hey, let's go get coffee. Hey, you want to go to see this movie or whatever those things are. But the outer circle is just a say yes. It may not turn into a lasting relationship. It may not turn into the greatest friendship ever. But we, with our phones, we tend to just stay stilted and almost paralyzed in some ways to where we don't take chances because everything is right in our hands. And then if you were to look further down that funnel, another circle is a friendship that you would share everything with, you know. Mm-hmm. Jesus invited Peter, James, and John further into the garden, mm-hmm. Before everything changed. I mean, that those are garden friends. So if you were to look at the first circle that I just described, it's a say yes. It may not turn into anything. And then as you go further down the funnel with those circles, it's those are friendships that you would say, hey, I want you to be a pallbearer at my funeral. You're a forever friend.
Yeah. And it's great to have these circles because it helps you define the friendship. It helps you realize, okay, is this just an acquaintance or is this somebody that I'm going to be with forever? And so you can kind of take the folks, you know, and put them in these different, and they may move. They move, yeah. You know, they move from an outer circle to closer to inner circle, but it just helps you define your friendships.
Very good. Which are you guys going to be pallbearer at? I don't know who's first.
one of us will.
We talk all the time about what one's going to say at the other person's funeral. Yeah. You know, I think keeping the end in mind is good.
Absolutely. Well, you guys been together for 30 years. Think of all the projects that you've put together, all the great videos, and people are used to seeing you doing comedy videos on skitguys.com and, you know, using them in their churches. But now you have a feature length film. How cool is that? Talk about that.
It's crazy, Chris. I mean, you know, I don't know what your ultimate dream was or is in life. Like, this would be it, you know, for both of us, probably from once we could watch a movie, there was that dream, but it was always that dream that was just unattainable. Like, okay, that'd be cool, but no way it's ever going to happen, you know? And I think that, gosh, there's so many things to say about it in so little time. I think the simple way to look at it is to go, we've said forever, do what you can, where you are with what you have, and leave the results up to God. And so for Eddie and I in our ministry, we did what we could. It started off as doing skits in our youth group at First Baptist Church in Edmond, Oklahoma, right? Yeah. And then, you know, we went around to different churches in Oklahoma and then Texas. And then before we knew it, we're traveling around most of the Southwest part of America and doing skits as young men, you know? And then it turned into doing short films for churches, you know? But there was always back in the back of our mind that desire. And we really thought it was impossible until, I guess, other Christian movies came out.
Faith-based movies, you know, the past 15 years has really made a dent in the theaters, you know? I mean, that was unheard of. Chris, I mean, you know that. I mean, that was just unheard of. I mean, Jesus films or faith-based films were shown on college campuses, you know? Mm-hmm. Or you know, it was at Mardell's and it was a DVD that you would go buy and you would take home, that type of thing. So to see this, you know, this piece of land develop and believers, you know, sit paying for a ticket going, no, we believe in this. We want this. It gave us a chance. It gave us a chance to go, well, let's try to make the first faith-based family-friendly comedy. And that's what we did.
Yeah, Chris, I think it's not to elongate this answer to your question, but it's very important to me that we share a part of that story because it was us trying to make it happen. People said, why don't you crowdsource this movie? And all these, we neither one of us felt great about that. So one morning, my buddy Eddie here is praying and he literally said to God, look, we're not going to make this happen. God, if this is of you, if this is what you want, then we give it into your hands. 2 hours later, true story, 2 hours later, the phone rings. A guy named Jason is on the other end of the phone. And he says, I was just thinking about you guys. Have you ever thought about making a movie? And Eddie said, well, yeah, I was just praying about it. Jason would connect us with a guy named Bill. Bill would later become the head over the company that runs K-Love. Mm-hmm. Bill would connect us with Trey at Provident, which is with Sony. And throughout this entire journey, there's just these moments that you go, we can't make it happen. You know, the one of the other things in our ministry we've said is that God has just the right people that at just the right time, people you don't even know that he brings into your life to accomplish what he wants to do. And so in this journey for us in making the movie, it's just been one thing after another that you see God's hand. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah. One of those people, Chris, would be Brian Cates, you know, yeah. our friend Brian Cates, mm-hmm. who, I mean, right after college, he was at your church and mm-hmm. started going, hey, why don't I put you guys on film? Why, he was doing stuff at your church and then was like, well, why don't I try to put you and Eddie on film? I mean, Brian Cates changed us. Mm-hmm. Like Brian Cates made us relatable on video. We were just doing live stuff. Yeah. And then so you start forming a team and you start dreaming together. And, you know, we believe dreams is a decision. There's delays, there's going to be difficulties, and there's going to be dead ends in every dream. Like if you had the time, we could sit down with you and say when this dream started and all the delays, all the dead ends, all the difficulties with this dream to Deliverance, which is family camp. And Brian Cates was a huge part of that. You know? Yeah.
Well, we love Brian, and Brian's actually done several projects for Oklahoma Baptist over the years, and mm-hmm. Yep. And of course, we did work together.
Yeah, and Brian co-wrote this movie. He's so talented.
Yeah, love Brian. What's it like on the set? I mean, how different is it to be on a feature film set? Was it a huge difference to you? Any surprises?
I think with the dream, Chris, we all were very intentional. You know, we call them mini movies, which they're short little films or videos. Yeah. I mean, if you were to go down the rabbit hole, they're videos that we make for churches. But we started acting as if we ever got to do a feature length film, we started acting as if on these mini movies that we make for churches. Creating it like a set. So if you were to come on to one of our mini movies in a filming block that we do stuff for churches, you would see all the, you know, primary central people that you would find in a crew on a movie set. So when it came time, I feel like we had been practicing for almost 10 years. Did it cost money? You bet.
Yeah.
Did it cost time? You bet. Was there a lot of hiccups to get through to even create a quote unquote studio? Yes, but I think when it finally came time for us to encroach on this land called family camp, I feel like we were ready. We knew the verbiage, we knew the lingo, we knew, you know, go to your one, go to your two, you know, we kind of knew what all the different primary people did and their roles. And that was really good because we got to encourage them as well.
Yeah, I think I guess if there was one difference, it's just that all of the things from the movie was on such a more grand level, you know, like we showed up at this camp, you know, which is just southeast of Guthrie, and there's this yurt there. And I'm like, that's great. Oh my goodness. They had a yurt, you know? And somebody's like, no, we built that. Oh, we built that. The movie built that? Yeah, we built the yurt. Oh my goodness. There's a sign that says Camp Catawba. Where did that come? We made that. Oh, we made that? Yeah, we made that, you know? And I was watching some behind the scenes footage a while back, and there was so much going on behind the scenes that I didn't even know of during the filming. So it was on a grander level, but Eddie's right. Our hearts, our minds, we were prepared to act in front of all these people because we'd been acting that way for several years.
Well, folks are familiar with your skits and your videos, and usually what I like about you is you guys don't just, do humor for humor's sake. You always have a good, you know, meaningful point to your videos and skits. Without giving it away, can you tell us a little bit about the movie and what people can expect, and maybe kind of in the area of the serious part, what you guys touch on?
Yeah.
We, to be real basic with that question, but I think it explains who we are. Tommy always says we're pastors more than pranksters. So if you don't know who we are, and you're going, why would I go to this comedy? You know, most of the faith-based films have been dramas, and they mm-hmm. touch my heart. And so here's what you need to know about us. And everything that we do, whether it's live or the videos for churches, we always talk about these three things: humor, heart, and him. We point it to God. We believe that laughter breaks down walls for truth to enter. So if you can get someone to laugh, You can get them to listen to you.
Yeah.
There's nothing better than laughing and feeling comfortable, but then you have to have something to say. And because we're pastors more than pranksters, we try to point them to God. So in this movie, you're going to laugh. I heard one time, I love telling the story. I heard one time it was over Christmas vacation, and maybe it was like the 20th anniversary of Christmas vacation. I don't really know, but Chevy Chase said, and it was the early 2000s, late 90s, I don't know, but he said, every great comedy that you've ever gone to, you're going to laugh at least 12 times. Like, he goes, hands down, you're going to laugh really hard 12 times. And I thought, that is just amazing. So everything that we try to do, like a live stuff on stage, it can't be 12, it's got to be 22. Like, right. You know, as believers, we got to go to the next level and not just be, well, it's Christian, so that's okay. No. Mm-hmm. We got to go to the next level as far as, so with this movie, I hope you laugh 32 times, not just 12. I hope there's enough comedy in there that you laugh, that parents, grandparents, you can look over to the side and see your kids and your grandkids laughing, and you're laughing at things, they're laughing at things. But also with that, we're gonna talk to your hearts about who God is, and we're gonna talk, and none of these characters are so outrageous or over the top that you can't relate to them. We really tried to make God gravity in this, and the outlines or the little sermon nuggets come from people just doing real life. Mm-hmm. Nobody's perfect in this movie.
Yeah, I think in the general storyline, you've got two families. You've got what would most people would consider the overchurched, that, you know, everything's happy, 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 good, good, good. God, I'm too blessed to be stressed, you know. Mm-hmm. And then you've got the other family that would be, I think, the average church family that is kind of underchurched, so to speak, if I'm using those words. And it's these two families colliding and how God is going to use that collision to mold and shape both families in different ways.
Great, great. Wow. What else we need to know about the movie? Like, is there a way to get in touch with getting tickets for big groups or that kind of stuff?
How to
know where
it's
showing,
asking.
That kind of stuff.
Yeah, listen, one thing that's really cool is when we first sat down with some of the producers, we said, hey, we've got a good relationship with the local church. We've been serving the local church for 20 plus years now. And we said, we think that they'll like to go see this movie. And they said, well, group sales don't happen anymore. And we said, okay, well, we've kind of proved them wrong. There's a lot of churches that are buying out theaters because this is a great opportunity. They believe they can trust us. We've earned their trust over the years, you know? And so, yeah, if you go to familycampmovie.com, there's a place there for group ticket sales. There's also a place where you can find out where it's showing in theaters. It's in, I think, over 800 theaters right now, and they're continuing to add theaters. And Chris, the truth of the matter is, for our ministry, our heart for this movie is that God will use it to bring hope and healing to families. We didn't make a movie just to make a movie. Like Eddie said, we're pastors. And mm-hmm. So we made a movie that we hope and pray God uses to bring healing, that families will be able to look back and go, you remember that night we went to the theater? And we laughed and we had fun. That was when we started talking about things and healing started happening. So the more people that go opening weekend, which is May 13th, the more chance it has to stay in theaters for a longer time and to expand to more theaters where we believe more families could be blessed. Why in the theaters? Because a family that might not go into a church will at least go into a theater to be entertained, to have fun together.
Oh, yeah,
we lower our standards to be entertained. We do. We lower our standards
as Christians.
As Christians, we lower our standards to be entertained. Friends, we've made a movie where you don't have to lower anything. Mm-hmm. And there's no bait and switch. You don't have to worry about what's being said. The humor, heart, and him are baked into it. And like Tommy said, it's going to bring some hope. And here's another age. Parents and family members, you get to leave there being heroes.
Yeah.
You get to get in your car and you get to hear quotes and lines being said and moments being talked about and laughter being remembered. And also it will lead to some God moments. So we want to make you heroes. We want to give you the opportunity and the chance to create great God discussions. And we think this movie will do that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, going off of the trailer, it's just hilarious. I can, I laughed out. I probably got two or three of those laughs out on that, just that one trailer. So, yeah, it's really
Thank
good.
Thank you, Chris.
And what I like about it is, you know, Christian films used to have the reputation of being poor quality and kind of close enough is good enough for church work, like you were saying. This is not that. This is definitely a good quality film. Well,
thank you
for joining us today, guys. It's been great. Go ahead.
Chris, before you say anything else, I just want to say thank you. I was sitting here thinking that when I talked about how God brings just the right people at just the right time, you and I got to share an office together. And you're one of those people that God brought into my life because you're so funny. And I got to watch you use your humor, but always honor God with it. Your humor always had a purpose to it. And
how old were y'all?
I was probably 18, 19. Chris was probably 30. No, Chris was just a few years older than me. And so Chris, like, it wasn't overlooked. It's important to me that you know that. When you ask me why this, you're one of the people God would use to help me see that was a possibility. So thank you for being one of those people.
Well, thank you. That's an honor. You know, what I remember about those days was we would try to compete with each other to see who could bring the tackiest thing back to the office.
That's right. Churches are filled with tacky things. And Chris and I had a wall of tacky things that we found in the church, which was fantastic.
And the other thing would be when the church secretary would call us up, because the pastor's study was next to our office, and she would call us to tell us to settle down.
We were too loud next to the pastor's study.
Oh, my goodness. That's awesome.
Well, I love you guys, and I'm proud of you. I know Oklahomans are proud of you. And Eddie, even though you live in Texas, we all know you're really proud.
He's got an Oklahoma heart.
I do.
Absolutely.
I love Oklahoma.
Amen.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, folks, be sure to check out that. The book is called Smells Like Bacon. You want to get it wherever you buy books. And you can also be sure to see the movie May 13th, premiering in theaters. Pack those theaters out on that day because it'll really send a message to the theaters because they plan their next week of theaters and going on. So and book those for your church.
And, thank you.
Yeah.
Please do.
So, again, thanks again, guys.
Thanks, Chris.
Love you, buddy.
Love you.
Love you, too. And I want to thank you guys. Thank you for joining us. If you enjoyed this podcast, we have more like it at our website at baptistmessenger.com. Or search for us wherever you download podcasts. Just search for Baptist Messenger, and you'll be sure to find us. Be sure to give us a good rating on our podcast and share our podcast with your friends so they can know about it. And while you're at our website, baptistmessenger.com, be sure to subscribe to the print edition of our newspaper. We'll deliver it to your house for free, and it always has something in there that you can't find online. Thanks again, and God bless.
This Messenger Insight has been brought to you by the Cooperative Program and Oklahoma Baptists. Visit us at baptistmessenger.com or your preferred podcast platform. Oklahoma Baptists, advancing the gospel together.